If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.
Good morning and welcome once again to CrossLink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. My name is Shirley Gutkowski and I am your host for the day. Well, at least for the next half an hour or so. I have a really interesting topic to discuss today, and it's one that doesn't seem to be having enough information in consumer land and in dental land either. And that is the topic of regeneration, and that is regeneration of tissues, hard and soft tissues in the body. And for our topic today in our little realm here of oral health care, it is the regeneration of oral tissues. In particular, it is very ununderstood that once you have a periodontal pocket, most clinicians are still telling their patients that once the bone is gone, and that's what creates the pocket, once the bone is gone, that it's gone forever. And that is absolutely not true. We have found a number of ways to regrow bone. Everything from, if you remember our discussion with Dr. Schefdoor on his nutraceuticals, all the way through to proteins that we can put into the pocket that help the tissue regrow and help the bone regrow and hold the teeth back in. And it sounds kind of frou-frou. It is not. It sounds a little bit, unreal, but it is very real, and it is something that periodontists and general practitioners and even hygienists are doing on their own patients. So that was the motivation for today's topic, and the guest that I reached out to was a very accomplished clinician in the dental field, in the periodontal field. Based on a recommendation by Judy Carroll, who is my co-author now at Modern Hygienist, I reached out to Dr. William Giannobli of University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. Dr. Giannobli is the Najjar Endowed Professor and Chair of the Department of Periodontics and Oral Medicine at the University of Michigan School of Dentistry. He is also a Professor of Biomedical Engineering at the College of Engineering. He received his DDS and MS in Oral Biology from the University of Missouri. He later received his Certificate in Periodontology and Doctor of Medical Sciences in the Oral. He later received his certificate in periodontology and Doctor of Medical Sciences in Oral Biology from Harvard University. He subsequently completed postdoctoral training in molecular biology at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and Harvard Medical School. Dr. Giannobli has served as a visiting professor at the Biotechnology Institute of Regenerative Medicine at the University of Genoa Medical School in Genova, Italy, in 2006. In 2013, he was there as a visiting professor in the Department of Periodontology at the Eastman Dental Institute, University College, London. Dr. Giannobli has lectured extensively in the area of periodontal regenerative medicine, tissue engineering, and personalized medicine. Dr. Giannobli currently serves as the editor-in-chief for the Journal of Dental Research. He has edited textbooks on clinical research, periodontal regeneration, and translational research. He is a past president of the American Academy of Periodontology Foundation. Dr. Giannobli is a consultant to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for Dental Devices and has received numerous awards from the American Academy of Periodontology, including the Robinson Regeneration Award, Clinical Research Award, and the Distinguished Science Award from the American Academy of Periodontology. Good morning, Dr. Giannobli. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Great. So you're pretty fancy in the periodontist department. from your bio. And one of the things that I've learned, or I've been relearning, is this idea that we can grow bone back, and that there is such a term as regeneration. And I'm wondering if the term regeneration is the same in dentistry as it is in medicine, and what does that mean exactly? Can we grow a new kidney in medicine? Is that regeneration? And then how does that translate to dentistry?
Sure. Yeah. So this whole area of regeneration or regenerative medicine is an exciting one, certainly in medicine and in dentistry. And so as it relates to dentistry, some of the more common areas that are being regenerated using a variety of approaches include, you know, rebuilding the gum tissues around the teeth, using replacement body parts such as dental implants to replace lost teeth. And then we're also looking at reconstructing the bone tissues around teeth that might have been lost as a consequence to disease such as gum disease or periodontal disease, or following trauma, like traumatic injury of the jaws, or in situations where, you know, there's been a developmental deformity. So, you know, patients afflicted with either cleft lip or palate, looking at ways we can rebuild those tissues to give these patients new form and function.
Well, that's my next question that I wrote down was, is it the same as enamel remineralization? Could you call that regeneration? But if you're talking about rebuilding a maxilla, for instance, or I don't know, maybe rehabbing a maxilla is a little more accurate. It's not exactly in the same category then, is it?
Yeah, but I mean, you give another good example of regeneration or sometimes repair, you know, for example, patients who lose some of their enamel, there are researchers that are working on developing ways to remineralize the enamel that might be, you know, destroyed due to dietary conditions or, you know, sometimes genetic conditions mm-hmm. that affect the enamel on a patient's teeth. And so some researchers are looking at ways to rebuild that enamel. So, you know, you're giving an example. There's so many different parts of, you know, the oral, you know, oral facial complex that could benefit by, you know, regenerative treatments.
So how does this work exactly? Do you start at a cellular level? Is it something to do with light? That seems to be coming and going in the literature every now and then. So what are you guys working on?
Yeah, so I mean, certainly as we look at these approaches that can be used to regenerate tissues, we do a lot of collaboration and research amongst the cell biologists, individuals like you mentioned at the cellular level, cell and molecular biologists, to preclinical researchers who will make a design to look at ways that we can rebuild these tissues to the clinical researchers who might take these new agents or devices developed by, you know, the chemists, biologists, or engineers to then bring into the clinical area and do clinical testing. So it really, you know, science today, as in so many areas in medicine as well, it's a team science approach where, you know, different groups of researchers work together to address a common problem.
Well, that's pretty interesting too, because you always think of a scientist working by himself or herself. So
it's certainly changed over the years, where you would have, you know, these scientists working by themselves with a small light bulb over their lab bench. You know, whereas now it really takes these teams, and we have groups of students, postdoctoral fellows, and then also, you know, faculty researchers or those, you know, collaborating with industry. We have a lot of industrial colleagues that we work with from, you know, private corporations that you know, collaborate with academic scientists to, you know, on a common problem.
Let's talk about periodontal disease for just one little half a second here. So the main feature of periodontal disease is the disintegration, loosely, of the bone that's holding the tooth in. So if we were to rehab that bone, so we would regenerate new bone and get that tooth to have healthy bone around it, does that mean that periodontal disease is gone? How does that relate exactly?
Yeah, so you give the example of periodontal disease, a very common oral disease that afflicts nearly half of the U.S. adult population. So it's actually very common,
right,
at its earlier moderate stages, where you mention patients that lose the bone or the support for the housing of the tooth in the socket. It's caused initially by an infection of bacteria that surround the tooth, and then they start to work their way down the neck of the tooth, and then what happens is, in certain patients that are more susceptible, some patients will develop a much more extensive inflammatory response or reaction to those bacteria, and then it's that inflammation that then leads to the breakdown of those structures around the teeth. So, mm-hmm. We've been looking at, a variety of approaches that can really target, getting rid of those bacteria, creating a clean situation around the teeth in the oral cavity. That will initially work to arrest, the disease. And then, using these regenerative approaches where we can then, target the cells, creating some sort of scaffold matrix that will allow those cells to grow onto it, and then maybe some regenerative molecules or growth factors that stimulate these cells to rebuild the tissues around the teeth, so to form new bone, new ligament that holds the tooth in the socket, and then new soft gum tissue around the necks of the teeth.
So one thing I've noticed in one way that we practice in dentistry is a lot of surface stuff. And when we're talking about periodontal disease, there's a really tight interface between systemic and kind of a topical approach and condition. So when we're talking about the potential to regrow that bone, is there a good candidate or a poor candidate for that? Do you have to have healthy blood markers? Can you be a diabetic? Can you be an unmanaged diabetic? What has to be there on the outside, not just on the surface of the tooth?
Yeah, so you bring up an important point in terms of, patients who have a good nutritional status, have a good systemic health. I think this is important. And so the healthier the patient is, the better their potential for regeneration will be. So you give the example of, patients who are afflicted with diabetes, or individuals who have cardiovascular disease or osteoporosis, different conditions that can affect inflammation, which I mentioned is detrimental, that more uncontrolled inflammation that really accelerates the bone loss, or in patients that have, low bone mass or low bone density to begin with, mm-hmm. such as an osteoporotic patient, or, patients who are more mature in the aging population, bone mass decreases over time. So, these systemic influences or the status of the patient's, overall well-being, certainly, they interconnect in terms of how that disease process occurs. These patients will have more disease if they have these other comorbidities, if mm-hmm. you will, other health conditions. And so there's an interrelationship. If we can create a better oral health, oftentimes that will improve the patient's systemic condition. So there have been some studies that show, diabetic patients who have severe periodontitis, severe periodontal disease, If you're able to better treat their periodontal condition, you can improve their overall diabetic well-being. So that's been shown in some large studies.
And having better bone support around the teeth decreases the depth of the pocket, but we still may or may not have the instigating factor there, right? If this is a bacterial infection that needs to be mitigated, needs to be taken care of.
Right. So you give the you mentioned the periodontal pocket, or that space between the tooth and gum. You know, that tends to deepen in patients who develop periodontitis. And that's the spot where those bacteria hide, and they can grow over time. And so if you can change that environment for the bacteria by removing them, reducing the inflammation, and maybe rebuilding some of that area, if those pockets are lessened in depth so they get more shallow, the bacteria have a much more difficult time in growing and in wrecking havoc on the patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky to manage all the little moving parts there. It's kind of like a whack-a-mole table. You know, you get one thing all settled down, and then you have to worry about the next thing and the next thing. And we've always talked about periodontal disease as being multifactorial. And this is, you know, another example of that. You get the bone to go, but if you still have the bacteria present, you have a pretty good chance that the bone's going to disappear again. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and so that's why, I mean, I think, as we, you know, we've discussed earlier, I think the patients, they really benefit if you look at the whole body health of the patient and looking at them as a whole individual, not just focusing on the oral condition, because you do want to look at it from the bacterial side, you know, getting rid of that infection. Oftentimes mechanically using, you know, cleaning instruments your dental hygienist would use to remove those deposits from around the teeth, having the patient, you know, working on a good oral hygiene, good oral health, having a proper diet, having a proper oral health care regimen in terms of, you know, cleaning schedule, and then working, you know, routinely in having a good diet and seeing your dentist and dental hygienist on a regular basis.
Excellent. Well, I know we had a little abbreviated time due to some malfunction or another, so I appreciate your time with us today, and maybe we can talk about regrowing the jawbone after full mouth extractions in some of these patients where it gets so, so thin. I think that would be a really good use of regenerative therapies as well.
Yeah, I mean, these situations, certainly as a periodontist, you know, we work diligently to preserve the dentition, you know, maintaining good periodontal health. We recently completed a large workshop through the American Academy of Periodontology on periodontal health through regeneration, and as a part of that workshop, we convened leaders from around the U.S. and around the globe to come together to look at strategies to help maintain the dentition, and looking at these tissue engineering approaches to maintain the dentition, and then, you know, in cases that you mentioned where patients just can't seem to hold on to those teeth due to a variety of reasons, you know, maybe the disease process has gone too far, we can certainly look at reconstructive modalities where we can rebuild some of the jawbone, you know, grow some new bone, and then replace those teeth that have been lost due to, you know, the disease process with dental implants. And dental implants have certainly revolutionized dentistry in you know, helping patients who've lost teeth prematurely, or maybe they had congenitally missing teeth, so they just were born without certain teeth. These patients can benefit with the reconstruction with dental implants. And, you know, now they've been around for over 30 years and used on a regular basis in dentistry. And so that certainly is another, you know, fruitful topic for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more and more of our patients demand these approaches to help replace missing teeth that have been lost over time.
Yeah, it's not good to lose your teeth over and over again. And it's not that we do enough studies on this, but the studies that are looking at quality of life and life expectancy with and without teeth show that people with teeth live better and happier, longer lives. So it's really important to keep the teeth in the head or keep some kind of teeth in the head.
and I think as we look into the future, you know, patients, they demand it for, you know, form and function, right,
mm-hmm.
to be able to speak, to be able to eat properly. But now as you look at our mainstream society as well, you know, a person's physical appearance is affected in great part due to their dentition and having an aesthetic smile, a beautiful smile. And patients, you know, not only want to have teeth to chew, but, you know, for their, as you mentioned, you know, their overall well-being, and this is a part and parcel of having a good psychological well-being, and
mm-hmm.
people can present themselves well having beautiful teeth. And certainly orthodontics in the U.S. has continued to grow over time because parents are recognizing, you know, they want their children to have the best and have a beautiful smile. And so now with all of this investment that parents and children are making and creating a nice straight dentition, beautiful dentition, now preserving it over the long haul, I think has become more and more important to society.
I think you're right, but there is a certain segment, and I'm always thinking about people in long-term care and what happens in long-term care and how people 25 years ago went into a care facility with dentures, and it was no big deal to just take them out, rinse them off, and put them back in. The consequences weren't as dire for not cleaning the mouth as they are today with people with their teeth and with implants and other, you know, functional dental appliances that have really changed the face of care in long-term care, especially with oral care.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We have more and more options
mm-hmm.
available to our patients today than we had, you know, 50 years ago. And so, you know, pulling together all of the expertise that we have collectively mm-hmm. in dentistry is now made available to our patients, you know, many different treatment modalities that weren't available before. And, you know, we're seeing the overall oral health of this country improving. At the same time, as we look at some of the disparities, you know, social gradients that we have in this country and around the globe, we have many patients who are benefiting, but then also from a public health perspective, we have a very large underserved population where, you know, children, the elderly are not receiving the quality health care that they need. And so this is a major public health problem.
Mm-hmm.
And having oral health is, you know, critically important to having an overall well-being for the patient. And sometimes different health care systems, you know, they're supporting general medical health, but not oral health and providing dentistry to our children and the elderly. But oftentimes, you know, as you mentioned, they're not considered as being, you know, critical components of health.
Yeah, I don't know. The insurance companies are stepping in and starting to do some studies looking back at their subscribers to see that the people who are having dental care done and dental cleanings and periodontal therapy are spending thousands of dollars less a year in medical costs based on their condition, as opposed to those who are not having their dental care taken care of. And so the money to be saved is unbelievable, by including oral care here and in medical. And it's really sad that it's not all going together.
Yeah, I think, you know, those, you know, third-party payer environments that are recognizing, you know, many of these advances in dentistry and are seeing how the maintenance of oral health, especially in these what we call high-risk individuals mm-hmm. who have an increased inflammation, they have an increased microbial burden, these individuals, they benefit not only by improved oral health by receiving more dental care, but also their systemic health is greatly improved.
Exactly.
And some organizations have recognized that, and so they're putting more resources towards helping benefit those patients who really have the greatest need for that additional care, and then using something that's, you know, it's called patient stratification, where you can actually, you know, allocate those resources towards those individuals who are in greatest need, and then also look at, you know, not over-treating those individuals who actually have a very good oral health
mm-hmm.
and they have a decreased risk to future, you know, disease activity. So, you know, this opens up this whole field of personalized or precision medicine, really taking together clinical information from the clinician, you know, the dentist, the dental hygienist, who are capturing a lot of this oral health information, and then bring together other genetic or biomarker information, you know, radiological imaging of the patients and their dentition to really give a broader view of the patient and identifying those who are going to, you know, greatly benefit from these treatments that we're recommending.
And saving the teeth with this regenerative therapy is really an important piece here. I don't know that even a lot of dental practices know that it's possible. Is it that new that we have to really just start raising the flag about it, or what's happening there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about dental implants and the potential that dental implants have in terms of tooth replacement. So there are some parts around the country where now, because dental implants work so well, patients are, you know, and some clinicians as well are saying, you know, in many of these cases, let's just give up on these teeth, mm-hmm. remove and place dental implants. And in some cases, you know, patients aren't aware of the potential and the possibilities of rebuilding those structures around the teeth to improve their long-term success. And then maybe you don't need to go towards, you know, tooth removal, tooth extraction,
right,
and the rebuilding. So, you know, these regenerative therapies have been around for a while, you know, but... you know, to your point, there may be some practitioners and some, you know, patients who are just not as well versed on, you know, the potential. But, you know, there have been a lot of advancements with these regenerative factors, such as the growth factors. Many of these are clinically available. Recently, there's been some work out on the use of 3D printing of scaffolds or replacement parts that can be used to rebuild tissues around the teeth. We actually just published last Monday, the first human clinical case of a 3D printed scaffold that we combined with a growth factor. And this was a patient we treated in Italy, where the patient received this scaffold that was placed at the time of surgery to rebuild the bone and rebuild some of the gum around the tooth. So it's a very exciting time in regenerative medicine and dentistry. And I think that, you know, it's for our patients, we're offering more and more solutions for their oral health.
I have kind of a mixed audience here on CrossLink Radio, and I have some consumers and I have some, you know, practitioners, dental health practitioners. So where can they find more information about this stuff that's a little easier to consume as opposed to going to PubMed?
So there are, you know, for many of these cutting-edge advances in dentistry on innovations, the American Association for Dental Research is one venue that there are many opportunities to read about these new innovations in dentistry. And so I also serve as editor-in-chief of the Journal of Dental Research. And so our journal, the Journal of Dental Research, publishes on a monthly basis, you know, many of these innovations in dentistry. So I would encourage people to look there. As it relates to periodontology, the American Academy of Periodontology and its official journal, the Journal of Periodontology and Clinical Advances in Periodontics, those are two journals from the official organization of the AAP, or American Academy of Periodontology, that also publishes new works in the field of periodontics and maintaining oral health. So those are a couple of very good resources I would recommend.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Giannoboli, and I hope you have a good rest of the day.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.